Just you find your place in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And I'll read from verse 12 to 23. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse number 12. The Bible says, "And it was told King David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to every one a cake of bread, and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, every one to his house. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself. And David said unto Michal, It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father, and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight. And of the maid servants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you for the relevance to our lives, dear Lord, and that your word has the answer to every problem. Dear Lord, we are humbled by the fact that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit in conjunction with your word. I pray that you would help us to take heed, dear Lord, and to hear your word and to apply it to our lives, knowing that it's for our benefit. Thank you once again for your blessings, your mercy, and your grace. May you use this time tonight to draw us closer to you. And if there's someone under the sound of my voice who doesn't know you as personal Lord and Savior, may tonight be the night of their salvation. Dear Lord, work in our hearts as only you can. And we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. We live in a day and age of social media where you can become popular. You can even dare say become famous because you generate videos that attract a lot of likes. For those who might be aloof to social media, simply put, you post, as it were, a video on YouTube or Facebook or some other platform. And by doing so, it is shared with a wide range of people who then have the opportunity to indicate by clicking a button whether they like what you posted or they dislike what you posted. And literally, companies such as YouTube and others have been able to generate millions of dollars and to be able to, through ads, because the more people who like your particular video, it means then that gives them an opportunity to advertise. And so in a nutshell, through social media, people have generated lots of money because they have produced videos and the such like that generate a like. Now, however, I'm always amazed that no matter how good something is, and sometimes things are posted that are good, no matter how good that thing is and that post is, if there are sufficient number of responses, there will inevitably be person or persons who dislike that particular video. No matter how great it is, no matter how wonderful it is. And ultimately, it has shown me, and I'm sure it will show you as well, that no matter how great something is, 100% of persons will never like any one thing. It's just a matter of human nature. Some people will like, and some people will dislike. They are contrasting responses to practically everything. They're contrasting responses to sports. They're contrasting responses to in the area of politics. They're contrasting responses to legislation, to the economy, to the weather. All these variety of things, people have different responses. Some like and some dislike. And let me add here, by way of the message, that the church is no exception. Listen, you can have a wonderful service. Listen, it can be as heaven came down and glory filled our souls. And you ask somebody, how was the service? Man, it was great. It was wonderful. Man, I was so blessed. And you ask somebody else, it was all right. It was okay. And you ask yet another person, it was awful. It was terrible. They think they're better than people. Negative responses. Why? Because 100% of people never like any one thing. You get the full spectrum of responses. But let me caution, however, that we must be guarded regarding our responses to the things of God. Lest we dampen, lest we shatter the enthusiasm of others. As we relate to this series that I've been preaching entitled Family Matters, let's be careful about our responses to the work of God, lest we dampen the enthusiasm or shatter the enthusiasm of our family members, of church members in the work of Almighty God. Listen, we are involved in a great work. Listen, it's never going to be a perfect work, but dare say it is a great work of God. Amen? And we're not going to always like everything, but we ought to be confident that we are involved in such a great work that I will not be a hindrance to what God is doing. And I want to preach a message here tonight by way of this text entitled Contrasting Responses to the Work of God. Contrasting responses to the work of God. We look here tonight and we see that David was one of the main characters in this text that which we read. And we know that David was the second king of Israel, the one after King Saul. And he's known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. And we've seen a number of messages here by way of David, knowing that God himself refers to him after a man after God's own heart. And in this passage, we will notice there were two contrasting responses. The background to this text in 2 Samuel chapter 6, we would know that the Philistines had come up against Israel and they had taken the ark. The ark was no longer where it should have been. And we know that the ark was a great sacred symbol of the presence of Almighty God. David now become king and wanted to retrieve this ark that had been taken. But in chapter 6, at the beginning of chapter 6, David had with a heart to be able to retrieve this ark of the covenant, to put it back in its rightful place. Gone with all the people. And in his enthusiasm, had forgotten about God's specific instructions about how this ark should be moved from one place to another. And it should have been taken by priests who were carrying this ark. David decided to put this ark on a cart. And in doing so, Bible says in verse number 5 of chapter 6, David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord with all manner of instruments made with fir and wood, even on harps and psalteries, and timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God, took hold of it, for the oxen shook it, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Why? Because David, in his enthusiasm, did not adhere to God's instructions, and as a result, Uzzah lost his life, even with good intentions. Listen, that's a message in itself, that when we do what we do for God, we must do it God's way. Amen. David was displeased. It says in verse number 9, he was afraid. How shall the ark come to me? And after David had some time to reflect and to think about what he had done wrong, we notice, verse number 12, that David noticed that the ark of God, after they had been shook up because they hadn't done it God's way, the ark remained in an individual's house known as Obed-Edom. And the Bible says in verse number 11, the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And we pick up here in verse number 12. You're taking notes. I want you to jot down, first of all, that David saw the blessings. He saw the blessings. In verse number 12, it says, it was told King David, saying that the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So here we have this picture and this story. Understand where we are. The ark is on its way back to Israel from being in the hand of the Philistines, and it makes a stop in Obed-Edom's house. And Obed-Edom's entire household is being blessed by the Lord. Let me say to all of us, listen, when you take care of the things of the Lord, God blesses you. Amen? Listen, I have people in this church here tonight who can testify that God has blessed them because they have taken care of God's business. And David witnessed this. He witnessed the fact that Obed-Edom's household was being blessed. Why? Because the ark was present in their house. David saw the blessings. But notice, secondly, when he saw the blessings, he acquired a significant burden. You may say, why did that happen? You see, David was not content with the fact that one household in Israel was being blessed by the presence of the ark. He had a burden to see all Israel blessed as well. No wonder the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. He says, listen, I notice this ark is in one family's house and these people are receiving the blessings. Listen, this is not the exact precise place where God had ordained for this ark. Listen, I want all Israel to be blessed. And he had a significant burden as a result. As we are here in a local church and we are privileged to be a part of this organism that God has ordained and established, we experience blessings. Amen. We have the blessings of salvation. We have the blessings of a good local church. We have the blessings of preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And as a result of that, we ought to be burdened for others to experience the same blessings that we get week after week, month after month, year after year. You and I should have a burden for others to receive the same thing. And if you don't have a burden for others, you're missing it. We should have a burden for our family members, for our friends, for our co-workers, for people everywhere to get what we are so accustomed to. Do you have a burden for other people to receive the blessings that you receive? A burden for the lost, a burden for the backslidden, a burden for the hurting, the oppressed, the suffering. David had a significant burden. And notice, thirdly, that this significant burden resulted in him wanting to share the benefits. He did something about it. Look at verse number 12. It says, so David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. David did something about it. David said, Obed-Edom, man, I see you're getting all the blessings as a result of this ark. I know, listen, that's a good thing for you and your family. But listen, we can all receive the blessings because when the ark is in its rightful place, all Israel will be blessed. And Obed-Edom, I'm sure, did not have any problem with that. He could not have had a problem. And even if he did, David says, Obed-Edom, this ark, when it's in its rightful place, all Israel is going to be blessed as you've been blessed. He acted on the burden that God has placed on his heart. My friends, the reason why it's so important to have a burden for the lost, a burden for the world, is because when there is an existence of a burden, it leads to action. God giving you a burden, it's important to act on it. When you act on your burden, multiple people benefit. That, my friends, is the reason why individuals sacrifice their time on a Friday night. They sacrifice their time throughout the week to minister and to prepare so that they can be a blessing to multiple people. It's a response of a burden that God has placed on the heart for others. To share the benefits, to share the blessings that you have received. David wanted to share the benefits. But notice, fourthly, because there was a sharing of the benefits, it resulted in spiritual bliss. Look at verse number 14. And David danced before the Lord. Some of you like that, huh? David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. My friend, there was great rejoicing because people were now getting blessed. Now, many people point to this verse and say, listen, how come we this dancing? You Baptists look like you against dancing. But David danced before the Lord. Let me clarify something about this dancing here tonight. All right? Listen, this dancing was a spontaneous celebration based on excitement, enthusiasm for what God had done in allowing the ark to get back where it belonged. So David danced. Right now, I'm dancing. Y'all don't think this is good dancing? Yes. See, y'all don't like this kind of dancing. Y'all like other kind of dancing. That's not the kind of dancing David was doing. He was doing something like what I'm doing now. David danced before the Lord. Yes! The ark is back. It's back in the house of the Lord. Yes! This was not situational dancing. Choreographed dancing. Dancing when the situation suits you. They're playing my favorite song, so I dance. I'm the lead singer on this song, so now I dance. It was that kind of dance. I want to show you how well I could dance, so I dance. No, it wasn't like that. I want to show you my new dance move that I worked out at home, so let me show you. Ah, no, it wasn't that kind of dance. This was dancing because God did something great that resulted in celebration and blessings on the people. This was a response of excitement based on a spiritual blessing and spiritual accomplishment. David wouldn't be dancing during the music and sleeping during the preaching. Because they're all connected. The praise was connected to the preaching. That's the problem with a lot of these churches with dancing. All this energy during the music and snoring during the preaching. Something wrong with that kind of dancing. His excitement during the worship would be just a warm-up for the preaching time. The main course when God is talking. How could I sleep during that? And then tell God, I'm all wide and awake and dancing during the worship. It's an insult to God. I'm dancing during the, and I'm wide awake during the worship, and then when God is talking, I'm sleeping. Spiritual bliss. So if you're going to respond with some excitement for the word of God, for the praise, and for the worship, listen, do what you need to do. But make sure it is genuine, a response based on what God has done and what God is doing and what he's going to do. Amen and amen. Amen. It was spiritual bliss. And notice number 5, David sacrificed biblically. Listen, all this stuff goes together, you know. It goes together. We often get caught up in minute details and pick out the parts that we want. We have to see these things in the whole context. Look at verse number 13. And it was so that when they bear the ark of the Lord, then they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. Look at verse number 17. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. 2 specific type of offerings David responded in offering. A burnt offering. A burnt offering was a sacrifice of general atonement. It was an acknowledgement of the sin nature and a request for renewed relationship with God. David recognized that this ark had been out of place, in the wrong place because of Israel's rebellion against God. And he says, God, now that this ark is back, is a symbol here, this sacrifice, these burnt offerings, we have to renew, we have to restore, we have to get right with you, God. So he offered burnt offerings. But he also offered peace offerings. And peace offerings were offerings that were given to give thanks to God for his deliverance in an hour of dire need. David was saying, God, now that the ark is back, now that our relationship has been renewed with you, we are so thankful for helping us to get it back where it should have never left. And so David, in his response to sacrifice, was not offering the sacrifices how he wanted to, but he was offering it how God required it to be done. You can find this rooted in the book of Leviticus. The sacrifices, the burnt offerings, and the peace offerings. And oftentimes we find in the church of God that people, in response to doing God's will, are adopting the mindset that I can try it, I can do it my own way. But let me warn us that just because we do it does not mean that God accepts it. We must determine that we're going to follow the Bible and do what we claim to be doing for God. Let's do it God's way. David sacrificed biblically. And notice number 6, in doing so, he served his brethren. Verse number 18, and as soon as David had made an end of the offering, burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Listen, David, the mission was being accomplished. He was seeing people blessed. That was the goal in the first place of getting the ark in his rightful place. And now that it was taking place, it was very easy for David to engage now in serving the people. Because it was all about people in the first place. My friends, if we are going to be involved in this thing called ministry, it must be about people. Not about status. It's not about accolades, awards, compliments. Those things will not sustain you. Because the same person who may compliment you one day will tear you down another. Do not rely on that for your fuel. Rely on the blessings and the provision and the Holy Spirit of God to empower you to keep you going. Amen. David served his brethren. Are you willing to serve those around you? Are you willing to serve for their benefit? Listen, as parents and as elders, we must teach our children that our lives are here for service to others, to be a blessing to other people. He served his brethren. What a response to the work of God demonstrated here by David. But I want you to notice two final points here that were in such contrast to David's response. I want you to notice Michal, and notice she had, Numbers 7, a seed of bitterness. There was a seed of bitterness that was sowing in the heart of Michal. Verse number 16, as she observed David and Israel shouting. Bible says, number 16, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Now you look at this and wonder, why was she despising David in her heart? See, David, in many ways, had neglected her. David had left her even when she had helped him escape from her father. And Michal probably figured, David, you were not good to me. You didn't do what I expected. I had great thoughts of our relationship and what would happen. And the seed of bitterness took root in her heart. And it resulted in Michal despising and hating at a time when she should have been rejoicing and loving. My friend, irrespective of the reason why bitterness has taken root in one's heart, bitterness is a destructive thing. It grows undetected. It grows deep. It grows firm and stronger the longer it goes unattended. And because it is hidden, it shows up often, unexpectedly, seems surprisingly strong to those who did not know that it was there all along. And here's what I'm finding regarding this matter of responding to the work of God, that bitterness, deep-seated bitterness, is one of the main reasons for parents discouraging their children from being involved in ministry. Now, I'm not examining the reason for the bitterness. Listen, that is something that the reason why bitterness gets there is something to be looked at, but the consequences of bitterness, irrespective of why it got there, will be damaging and destructive. Bitterness must be attended to. And it must be addressed at the root. Because bitterness arises out of hurt feelings that are very real. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. God understands that we have hurt feelings. God understands that we get offended. That is why the Bible, understanding the danger of bitterness, gives us a prescription for dealing with the hurt in the first place in Matthew chapter 18. God says you cannot allow this thing to continue because bitterness eats away at the soul. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says and 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. My friends, be careful, be cautious. Try to pull up any root of bitterness that's growing inside of you. Don't let it grow. Don't let it take root. Don't let it bear fruit. Don't let it grow up to be a strong tree. Get rid of bitterness at any cost. It is not worth it. Amen. Michael had that seed of bitterness. And because that seed of bitterness had grown and come firm and strong, when probably David did not even know about it, finally, it resulted in a severe blight. Look at verse number 23. For the sake of time, she responds to David in a very sarcastic manner and pretty much condemns him for his excitement and enthusiasm for the things of the Lord. And David comes back at her and says, "It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father." Because David was somewhat offended here. "And before all his house to appoint me ruler of the people of the Lord, over Israel, therefore will I play before the Lord." David said, "You're not going to stop me from praising and being excited about the things of God." And verse number 23 says, "Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death." As a result of her bitterness, God made her barren. Barrenness was considered one of the most terrible things to happen to a woman. A curse. This was God's response to Michal as a result of her despising David as he sought to serve God for the good of others. My friends, never let anyone... Let me say this first. Never dissuade anyone from following God. Never dissuade anyone from serving God, especially your children, especially your family members, from having a heart for God and having enthusiasm for the things of God. Never ever do that. And here's the other flip side of that. Never let anyone dissuade you from serving God, from loving God, from being excited about the things of God. Listen, I don't want somebody to think my fellow said in testimony time. Listen, if you're worried about what people think, come to the front and don't look back. Yes. Just praise the Lord. Forget about what they say, what they're going to say, what they look. Listen, praise God anyhow. Forget about them and let God have your praise from your alabaster box. They don't know the cost. And here's the thing, I'll say this in closing. For individuals who are bitter and have no desire to address it, and then they make you bitter. Listen, when they've lost their joy and they cause you to lose your joy, they're not able to give it back to you. So don't let them take it away from you in the first place. Listen, there are a variety of different responses to the work of God. As they say, some will be mad and some will be glad. Just make sure you're in the glad category. Listen, you can't control everybody's responses. I can't make you sing if you don't want to sing. And you might open your mouth and you might mumble just to impress me. This is not about me. It's about God. Yeah. So while I do want 100% participation, might not get that. But for those of you who want to praise, listen, praise God. If you don't want to praise God, well, too bad for you. But we're going to be excited about the things of the Lord and let that enthusiasm rub off on other people. And you know what I realize? When you stay enthusiastic long enough, listen, they come along eventually. Eventually, one of these days. But we hope it's sooner rather than later. Because people don't like to look odd. But if we could get more people praising God, I guarantee you, those who look like they're feeling odd, they're going to start to do something. But you get on the boat early, amen? We want to be positive about the things of God, the work of God, to serve the Lord with gladness. Not madness. Not sadness. But gladness. Let's say together, with gladness.